Shri Krishna Chaitanya Bhavanityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yesterday evening, when I finished speaking, there were still quite a few questions pending, so I thought this evening to take various questions. If devotees have questions, they can write them down, and I'll try to answer them. I have to finish up shortly after 8 o'clock and go over to the book distribution awards. So one question that has been eagerly put to me for the last 2 days, which I didn't come to answer, is that of why we worship Lord Nrisimhadev. The immediate answer is that Lord Nrisimhadev is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we are jivas, so it is our constitutional and proper position to worship Him, to worship the Supreme Lord. He is the Prabhu, we are the Das. So our duty is to worship Him. Then, why this particular form? There are so many forms of the Lord. Why should we worship this particular form? Especially Gauriya Vaishnavas, they usually worship. Gauriya means those who are worshippers in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Radha Krishna as the ultimate goal of worship. Of course, there are devotees, there were direct devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who are also worshippers of Lord Ram, of Nrisimhadev. There was a famous devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Pradyumna Brahmachari, who was Nrisimha Upasak. He was a worshipper of Nrisimhadev. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu changed his name to Nrisimhananda. He's worshipping Nrisimha. So it's even at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gauriya Vaishnavas are worshipping. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, at least once, took the form of Nrisimhadev. When he came to the house of Srivas Thakur and asked him to recite the Vishnu Sahasranam, so very early in the first verses, one of the names, the name of Nrisimhadev comes in the Vishnu Sahasranam, Narasingha Vapu, the Lord who has taken the form of man and lion. And hearing this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took up the mood of Nrisimhadev. He became in the mood of Nrisimha because he is Nrisimhadev. So he took up that mood and ran through the streets of Navadeep, saying that now I'm going to kill all the atheists. So everyone ran away in fear. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very sorry and said, to give distress to the people is not good. But Srivas said, no, it was good. Everything you do is good. Anyone who saw you in that form is certainly delivered to love of God. Now, another time Nrisimhadev manifested in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when the Chankazi wanted to stop the Sankirtan. So he had his men break the drums, and he said, next time you make more drums, and I'll break your head. No more Sankirtan. So in his dream at night, not exactly dream, but it was more than a dream, because Nrisimhadev actually came and said, you want to break my devotee's head? I'm going to rip you to pieces. That's what you get. So he roared so loudly that the Kazi, he almost died. But then Nrisimhadev, after all, he is the Supreme Lord. He's also merciful by nature. And especially coming in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, okay, I'll excuse you this time, but only one time. Don't do it again. And this the Kazi told to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the presence of all Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees, and he showed the scratch marks of Lord Nrsimha on his chest. Very fortunate. So Nrsimhadeva appeared in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself personally offered prayers to Nrsimhadeva every day when he was in Puri, because he would enter the Jagannath temple going by the gate, and on the left hand side was the deity of Nrsimhadeva. So every day he would chant Namaste Narasinghaya Prahalada Hlada Dayane Hiranyakashipo Vakshaha Shila Tankana Kalaya Ito Nrsimha Parato Nrsimha Yato Yato Yami Tato Nrsimha Bahir Nrsimha Hidaye Nrsimha Nrsimha Maading Sharanam Prabhaja. He would chant this on entering the temple of Jagannath, offering obeisances to Lord Nrsimha. Who knows the meaning of this song? We're singing every day. It's good to know the meaning of the songs we sing. Namaste, obeisances unto you. Namaste, Narasinghaya, unto obeisances. Narasinghaya, unto Narasingha. Prahalada Hlada Dayane. Where's Prahlada Ananda Das? He's cutting fruit. What does Prahlad mean? What's the meaning of it? Every name has a meaning. Prahlad means? Ahlad means pleasure, and Prahlad means more so. Prakrishta Rupena. More pleasure. Intense pleasure. So, Prahlad Ahlad Dayane. Nrsimhadeva is the... How is he happy? What's he doing? Is he drinking alcohol or going to movies or... What's he doing? How is he? He's having pleasure by always remembering Lord Nrsimhadeva. So Nrsimhadeva is the giver of pleasure. Prahlada Hlada Dayane. Hiranyakashipu Vakshaha. His chest, which is hard, he ripped it apart with his nails. Shila Tanka Nakale. Shila means like stone. Tanka means an instrument for breaking the stone, like a chisel. Shila Tanka Nakal, by his nails, they ripped apart his chest. Ito Nrsimha Parato Nrsimha. He is here, he is there. Yato Yato Yami Tataha Nrsimha. Wherever I go, he is there. Bahir Nrsimha, he is outside. Hridaya, he is within the heart, Nrsimha. Nrsimha Maadim Sharanang Prabhaja. I offer my obeisances to that Nrsimhadev, who is the origin of everything. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would offer this prayer, and later also Bhaktivinoda Thakur also worshipped Nrsimhadev, and Prabhupada introduced this chanting of prayers to Lord Nrsimhadev, this first, these two shlokas beginning with Namaste Narasinghaya, which come from the Nrsimha Purana, and then the Tavakara Kamalavarena Kamadbhuta Shringam, this verse which comes from Jayadev Goswami's Gita Govinda, which is also recited daily in the Jagannath temple. So Prabhupada introduced this when he was very sick, with the idea that the devotees should chant this. He said this sickness is Maya's attack. So Nrsimhadev, he introduced these prayers for the protection of the spiritual master. And that's been going on in ISKCON as a tradition ever since. So devotees pray to Nrsimhadev, who is known as Bhakti Vigna Vinashana Nrsimhadev. If we see in the full Pringdhani, it's written Bhakti Vigna Vinashana. Sometimes what it say Vigna Vinashana Nrsimhadev or Sarva Vigna Vinashana, which is in one sense true, but not so precise as Bhakti Vignavinashana, which means he destroys the obstacles on the path of advancement in devotional service. To say Sarva Vignavinashana is in one sense not untrue, but not so explicitly, not so definitively accurate, because in this material world there is Ganesh. Vipada pallava pravanga nidhaya kumbhadvan vaipa namasamaye saganadhi raja vignam vihanta nalamasya jagatrayasya govindamadhi purusham tamaham vajami. Within the jagatraya, within the three worlds, the material worlds, the destroyer of obstacles on the path of material progress is Ganesh. And he gets the power to do so by holding on his elephant head the lotus feet of Lord Nrsimhadev, who is an expansion of Govinda, Krishna. So a distinction is there. Ganesh is for destroying obstacles on the path of material progress. He's worshipped for that purpose. And Nrsimhadev is worshipped for the specific purpose of destroying obstacles on the path of bhakti. There are many obstacles. Mostly the obstacles are produced by our own mind. But there may be also obstacles in the path of trying to complete some service for the Lord. There are also many demons. We pray to Lord Nrsimhadev for protection from demons who sometimes cause great disturbance in the activities of Krishna consciousness. If there are many demons threatening to spoil our activities, Prabhupada said this is a sign that our Krishna conscious movement is going very nicely. Because if we're actually preaching Krishna consciousness, demons will be disturbed. So, although it's true that we want the public to be favorable, we can also expect that if we are preaching Krishna consciousness as it is, some members of the public will not be very favorable and may be very unfavorable. So we worship Nrsimhadev to protect us from demons, especially the demons within our mind. So for these purposes we worship Lord Nrsimhadev. But that also, we shouldn't consider Lord Nrsimhadev to be like some demigod who we worship. People worship demigods for some specific purpose and then they give up that worship. They do some vow for 30 days and then they, alright, I got what I wanted from the demigod, so okay, when I need something from you again I'll forget you. Because after all, Nrsimhadev is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Prahlada Lada Dayane. He gives transcendental pleasure to his devotees. He's the Supreme Person. He's not simply an order supplier. So those who worship him, they also develop a relationship with him. And Lord Nrsimhadev is very fierce, but he's also very kind to the devotees, just like the lioness is very fearsome. Actually, the lioness more than the lion, according to the zoologists. The lion is more passive than the lioness. She goes out hunting, mostly. She wants to see the children at home get fed. So you can't always rely on the husband. So the lioness goes out and hunts. She's very fearsome to the animals, but she's very kind to her cubs. So in the same way, Nrsimhadev is very fearsome to the non-devotees, but he's very kind to the devotees. Nrsimhadev here in Mayapur, here in Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir, he's especially a very merciful deity. He very much reciprocates with his devotees' requests. He's becoming famous for that. You can ask him. what you want. It should be something pertaining to bhakti. But if you ask for something material, he may not like it, and it's better not to invoke Nrsimhadeva's displeasure. That is the activity of Hiranyakashipu. Better not to do that. But if you have some desire for advancing in bhakti, or if you have, you want to do some particular service to please the Vaishnavas, Guru and Krishna, you can pray to this deity and you can ask for some service. He will reciprocate. You can go also and see the Pankajangri Prabhu who's worshipping Nrsimhadeva, or any of the pujari. You can ask them about Nrsimhadeva. They'll tell you there are so many wonderful pastimes. He's only come here last, how many years? 12 years, something like that. But already he's enacted so many wonderful pastimes with his devotees. So Nrsimhadeva will help us to understand Radha Madhava. Radha Madhava are not very easy to understand. Nrsimhadeva is not easy to understand. The absolute truth is not easy to understand, but everything is possible by help coming down from above. Everything is possible. So Nrsimhadeva intervenes at a higher level. We are here struggling with our mind and our senses, and we can pray for the mercy of Lord Nrsimhadeva, and then he's on a higher level. Here we are struggling with Maya, we're completely overwhelmed, but Nrsimhadeva, just by his glance, all the Maya can be dissolved. Just by his wish, just by his order. So we should always remember, we have to make our own effort also, but we should always remember that the better form of attainment of, or the better form of making advancement is by getting the mercy from above. So even our own effort, that's only simply to invoke the mercy that's coming down. And Nrsimhadeva is always up, he's never down. He's atyuta, he's never conquered. He's never under the clutches of Maya. Rather, Maya is his obedient servant. So we have been obedient servants of Maya for so long. Now we're realizing that we're cheated. Not that Maya is cheating us, she doesn't have such a bad propensity, but we are cheating ourselves. We're so much addicted to cheating ourselves that even if we make some kind of a decision to be Krishna conscious, but we have bad habit, a very bad habit of cheating ourselves, and we're so much addicted to this that it seems very difficult to get beyond this. But we can pray for the mercy of Nrsimhadeva. He will help. So devotees are worshipping Nrsimhadeva, praying for his help that we may enter into the service of Radha Madhava. That also not directly. Directly serving Radha Madhava are the Ashtashaki. They're also here on the altar. Most beautiful. Radha Madhava and the Ashtashakis. So everywhere, the Ashtashakis, they're serving Radharani in groups. Work under Hare Krishna. Is there any other question?
In the Nectar of Devotion, I find that Srila Prabhupada is telling that before worshiping any deity, we should worship Ganesh.
It's not a question, but the question is implied. Then why don't we do that? Is that why you're asking? Yes, that statement is given, and we'll find in Vaishnava Sampradayas, even in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, they also worship Ganesh. Although, I don't know, maybe some acharya before him explained this, but I know Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explained that it's not exactly the Ganesh of the material world, but the Ganesh who destroys the obstacle on the path of worshipping Krishna is the Vishvaksena, a parshad of the Lord in the spiritual world. So it's not exactly the same Ganesh. But starting in the time Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati also, they didn't worship Ganesh. And Prabhupada explained why. He said that we worship the pure devotee acharyas who will, they will destroy all the obstacles, for they will help us, they will bring us to Krishna. Ganesh means who destroys the obstacles that stand in the way of our path. They make the link between us and Krishna. But Prabhupada explained that is more suitably done by the pure devotee acharyas. Therefore on our altar we have the picture of the Parampara acharyas, and we bring the items first to the acharyas, then to Krishna. And when we're doing puja, puja means the daily worship of the Lord, at least once a day. Mostly it's done once a day in our temples. It can be done more often also, twice or even three times a day. That means worshipping with the different items, upachars. That generally goes on after Mangalati. So in puja first, the guru puja should be done. That's the system. First you have to worship guru, then Gauranga, and then Krishna, like this. So we go to Krishna through the mercy of guru. This is the system. Should Nrsimhadeva always be worshipped with Prahlad Maharaj? He can also be worshipped with Lakshmi. Or he can be worshipped alone also. In fact, most temples you'll find, well, mostly he's worshipped in India in Sri Vaishnav temples. He's not exactly worshipped here, but in the Sri Vaishnav system, they have a separate temple for Lakshmi. Nrsimhadeva has his temple, or whichever form, Vishnu, Ranganath, whichever deity is being worshipped, and there will be a separate temple. Lakshmi has her own temple. And time to time they come together, different festivals like this. There are different systems of worship. Can we understand what Krishna likes? What kind of food, clothing, garlands? That we can understand by the system of guru, sadhu, and shastra. I was just, were you here yesterday? So I was discussing yesterday what Krishna likes to eat. We don't find anywhere there's a description of Krishna eating pizza, linka, ice cream. There's no such description. So we understand that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given that song. Narottam Das Thakur has also given a song describing what Krishna likes to eat. That can also be understood, as I say, from acharyas, what Prabhupada liked to feed. Prabhupada's a pure devotee. He knows what Krishna likes to eat. And how he should be dressed, there are descriptions in Shastra. Actually, often we see Krishna is dressed in like a salwar kameez, which is like a, mostly young girls in India wear that. But the that's it's not exactly as described in Shastra. It's the, well, the men used to wear. You find in the Rajasthan, the Rajputs, they used to wear also. But nowadays they don't, they wear pants and shirts and all this. Krishna is dressed in dressed in dhoti, actually. But acharyas have also accepted this. Prabhupada also accepted Krishna can be dressed like this. It's an interesting question, because even at the time when the six Goswamis were establishing temples, there was Muslim rule in that area, and even the architecture of Vrindavan, even the temple architecture, is influenced by the Islamic style. Of course, it can be said that the Islamic style, that probably also originated in India, because whatever culture they have, definitely much of the art, architecture, and science, and mathematics in Europe is supposed to have come from the Arabs. But where did the Arabs get it from? Where did anyone get anything from? All the knowledge came from India originally. Anyway, basically, we can understand what Krishna likes. Basically, we can say that whatever is traditional Indian culture is what Krishna likes. Because Indian culture is based on the culture of the spiritual world. Just like this sari you're wearing, that is the same kind of sari that is worn in the spiritual world. Well, what Krishna wants now, that is a very advanced level. We have to worship on the level of Vidhi. There is Vidhi Mag and Raga Mag. On Vidhi Mag, Vidhi means according to rules and regulations. We know that Krishna likes, at this time he likes this, at this time he likes this. When we're on the platform of Rag, that means realized Rag, then we know at every moment, just like Vamsi does Babaji. Did you read that book? No, at every moment he was talking and sometimes shouting at his deities and arguing with them. But apart from the regular aritis, we know that Krishna, he always likes to hear his name chanted, so you can always chant kirtan for him. He likes to hear recitations of Srimad Bhagavatam, so you can always do these things. It will always be pleasing to Krishna. We should do these things.
Srila Prabhupada was teaching to love Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan to follow. So why did he also establish worship of Lord Jagannath?
The question is that Prabhupada was teaching us to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, so why did he also establish temples of Jagannath, who is a deity of Dwarka and Puri? Well, Prabhupada was teaching the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Where does this idea of following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan come from? It wasn't that something that Prabhupada imagined. This is coming in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who worshipped Lord Jagannath, seeing Jagannath as Krishna in Vrindavan. Because Jagannath in Dwarka, this form, as described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita of Sanatana Goswami, this form is a manifestation of Krishna in Dwarka when he's remembering his Vrindavan pastimes. So it's a very intimate form. At the same time, Jagannath is very merciful. He's a very, very merciful form. Prabhupada mentioned once that Lord Jagannath is so merciful that most of the people in Orissa, they all eat fish, but still Lord Jagannath accepts their worship. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he considered the deity of Jagannath more suitable for the Western countries where people are very fallen. So Prabhupada brought the deities of Jagannath. Actually, Prabhupada didn't even bring the deities of Jagannath. Jagannath came to Prabhupada. You know that, right? It's a well-known story. So Jagannath came and said, look, it's time you worship me. So Prabhupada arranged for that. And of course Prabhupada had his own intimate relationship with Jagannath since his very childhood. For Radha Govinda and Jagannath. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was seeing Jagannath as Murli Varan, Krishna holding the flute to his mouth. So Jagannath is in the highest stage. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the highest stage. Jagannath is seen as this. And in the beginning stage, Jagannath is so merciful. He will accept any kind of worship. Not that we should think I can just worship in any old way. We should be careful not to make offenses. Any other questions?
Maharaj, can you recommend meditation that we should keep in the forefront of our minds and our consciousness on Purnima
day? On which day? Purnima day. Recommend a consciousness, a meditation that we should have on Gaur Purnima day. I'm being asked to recommend a consciousness, a meditation for the Gaur Purnima day. Well, it's a very nice consideration to have on these special festival days. It's very good to have a meditation on these days. We could, just like on Radhashtami, we can especially meditate on and pray for the mercy of Srimati Radharani. On Gaur Purnima day, we can meditate on and especially pray for the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Remembrance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is naturally enhanced on Gaur Purnima day, and especially in Sridhar Mayapur. So what should be our meditation? Well, I can put that back to you. What is your aspiration? What is your spiritual desire? What are your hopes? But that should also be in the line of what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants us to do. Not exactly. When we say, what do you want to do? But then when that comes to the devotee, you should think, not so much, but well, not what I want to do, but what Krishna wants me to do, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants me to do, what my guru wants me to do. So then we have to think, why has Chaitanya Mahaprabhu come? He has come for various reasons. Especially, Prabhupada wanted to fulfill the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for preaching Krishna consciousness in every town and village of the world. So a very suitable meditation is to become an instrument in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's great mission for spreading Krishna consciousness to every town and village in the world. Become an instrument means whatever service we are doing, we should continue. And think how to improve our service, either qualitatively or quantitatively or both. That means, just like we're fully engaged, you may find it may not be very feasible or practical to add any more services, although one who is fully engaged is usually thinking how to do more. But we can also improve the quality of our service, our purity. So we can pray to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the mercy to serve in his preaching mission. That is very suitable for everybody. Preaching is not meant to be just for sannyasis and brahmacharis for a few years and then they get married and then they're finished for the next who knows how many years. But everyone is meant to be a preacher in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cult. It's a nice question. How can we serve? Pray for service. Sankirtan, if we say Sankirtan, it sounds like Sankirtan. He performed some kirtans in public, but some, they were so private that people were not allowed. They were not even allowed inside. It's also a very nice question. Kirtans which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed privately, that was especially meant for Rasa Svadan. for tasting the nectar of Krishna consciousness with the devotees. There are many blasphemers at that time also. So these were mostly the all-night kirtans that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing at Srivasangam, the house of Srivas Thakur. So many blasphemers would come and they would complain that, you know, we can't sleep properly at night, these people are screaming all night long. What are they doing? They're breaking all religious principles. And so such people were not wanted. But when they went going outside, that was for giving mercy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would also taste the nectar of Krishna consciousness by chanting publicly, but that was specifically for engaging everybody. In Srivasangam, that was intimate devotees. But when they went in public, everyone was invited to join in. So, anything else? How can we please Lord Nrsimhadev? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atma Nivedanam. Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad Maharaj, what is the best thing you have learned? So he said this. Iti punsa pita Vishnu bhaktis chainava lakshana. These are the 9 ways of worshipping Lord Vishnu. That means that is pleasing to him. We should do that. What are the rules and regulations for worshipping Ugra and Nrsimha in the house? The rule and regulation is don't worship Ugra and Nrsimha in the house. Not now. Players. The household of life is a different status of life. Ugra Nrsimha is. Oh, the picture that we have on the altar. Oh, that you can keep. Yeah. That Prabhupada. Worship means that we do the arati. That's all. The main deities on the altar in the homeward. Mostly Prabhupada. But actually, in Prabhupada's books, you will find that Prabhupada, when he talks about worship at home, he mostly talks about Radha Krishna. But then personally, his personal dealings, he mostly recommended worship of Gaur Nithai. So Nrsimhadev was there also. We sing the song, that way you're worshipping for protection and removal of, helping to remove the material desires. No. The offerings are to the deities. You have already, the picture will be there of the Panchatattva like this. You offer there. Vaishnava worship is mostly aimed at Golok Vrindavan, not at Nrsimha Loka. What is the role of Lord Shiva in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes? Advaita Acharya. Shiva Shuka Narada Prema Gada. Shiva Shuka Narada Prema Gada Gada Bhakati Vinoda Deke Parara Shampada. He also comes personally to see the arti. Personally means in the form of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva also met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was wandering in South India. Lord Shiva in the form of a Brahmin with his wife Parvati, they described they had very intimate discussions. There's a question. You're going to ask in English? To get on the boat which takes us to the other shore. Guru Padashrayas Tasmat Krishna Dikshanu Shikshanam. The first in the 64 angas of bhakti, the first is to take shelter of the lotus feet of a guru, take initiation, take instruction, Vishram Bhima Guru Seva, to serve him with awe and reverence. Then Sadhu Vatmanu Vartanam, to follow in the footsteps of great devotees. This is the method. This is how bhakti is begun. Guru is called Guru Karnadharam, who's like captain of the ship, who guides the ship over the ocean. Boat, you have to stay on the boat and you have to follow the instructions of the captain. Otherwise, he might throw you off the boat. You become a danger to the other people on the boat if you don't follow. How much should a guru manage the disciple's life? That will be different in every case. How much should the disciple expect from the guru? That will again be different in every case. If a guru, he may personally oversee every... If someone's living with him personally, he may very tightly control, even if they're living personally with him, he may not very tightly supervise them. It will be different in every case. It depends on the... every guru is a different person. Every disciple is a different person. And every dealings between two different people, they're always... Even one guru... A guru may deal one disciple quite differently to another disciple also. Differently means the same basic instruction is there. Guru with many disciples... Guru with many disciples generally delegates more junior disciples to be under the care of more senior disciples who he guides. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did that. No less than Raghunath Das Goswami, when he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "You be under the care of Swarup Damodar Goswami." Not directly. Raghunath Das Goswami. He lived with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri for so many years, but under the guidance of Swarup Damodar. So Prabhupada also did that. He didn't attempt to personally guide the lives of all his disciples. He told me he worked under the temple presidents. And temple presidents work under the GBC members, and GBC members he kept with him and trained them. And other devotees, if he would say, if they were making some mistake, he'd point it out, or he'd give some personal instruction. Once one of my godbrothers told me, there are so many incidents like this, it just came to mind. He was doing the night guard duty for Prabhupada at the farm in Hyderabad. So Prabhupada was translating in that little hut, and he was chanting. Prabhupada heard his chanting and came out and said, "You chant like this." His chanting was not so good, and Prabhupada noted that. So Prabhupada sat down with him for some 15-20 minutes and chanted japa with him, coming out of his translating his books for the benefit of the entire world. But he heard, "Right now there's where my disciple is there. his chanting is not proper. So he came out. What if you're under the authority of a person who's not so much in the line of Srila Prabhupada? Well, you're in a very difficult situation, because we're all supposed to be in the line of Srila Prabhupada. Better get in line. If you get off the line, that means you're on a tangent. And if you're on a tangent, tangent doesn't go to the same destination. Do you know what a tangent is? Tangent? Can you say in Croatian? Tangent. Tangenta. Can you understand the example? Can you understand the example? Tangent? That there's a straight line, and there's another line which comes from the same source, but it doesn't go exactly parallel to that line. It goes at an angle. So in the beginning, it's close, but it gradually gets further and further away until you end up in a different place altogether. What is your benefit? You're not satisfied with this position you're in? In general. Well, it's better, like I said, it's better to get in a situation where we can serve properly. Sometimes authorities are not correct in their dealings. Well, we can't expect everyone to be perfect all the time. So if it's sometimes, then if there's sometimes there's some impropriety, then we may tolerate. If it's all the time, then there may be something more seriously wrong. Or maybe our own perception is wrong. That could also be possible. Maybe we're wrong in thinking that others are wrong. That's also possible. Okay, I'm going to finish there because I'm supposed to go over to the book distribution awards. But let's distribute some prasad first. Have that?